So without wisdom, without understanding, sentient being will develop affliction. But this wisdom and understanding is not easy to have. Without the sasana, without the Buddha's sasana, means his essential Dhamma, his teaching, the Four Noble Truths, sentient being is like blind, deluded. So it's not easy to receive the teaching, the Dhamma. And you need enlightened beings, great beings, or the great vehicle to really teach and share. Although some of the lesser vehicle cultivator that has developed the sainthood way of enlightenment up to arahantship or even Pachika Buddha, they can teach, but their teachings are quite limited in that sense, because they cannot teach you the vehicle of the greater way, the Bodhisattva way. They can share with you the essential Dhamma to liberate your mind, to free your mind. So in order to receive this teaching, you must have parami. You must have affinity, the triple gem. That's the reason why, if you were to look at the teachings, how the Buddha actually structured his teaching, it's very beautiful. Yeah. All of our sessions and classes since the time of the Buddha, it starts with the pre-puja. And the pre-puja is very important. The pre-puja is the starting point. To receive this teaching, you must have affinity with the triple gem, the Buddha knew. Without the triple gem, you cannot find his teaching. You cannot find the way. There is no Dhamma. So taking refuge in the triple gem is to create affinity with the triple gem. And like the Buddha always reminded the monk, there is no other refuge safe except the triple gem. Because it's only in the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, you can find his teaching, the real teaching. So taking refuge is a serious matter. That's why we start by chanting the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. The meaning is very beautiful. Namo is homage to the tassa, to the. So namo tassa bhagavato. Bhagavato is the Buddha. So when you recite, means you recite the salutation to the Buddha. Homage to thee, the blessed one, Bhagavato. Arahato, he is the Arahant. Sammasambuddha. So this recitation and salutation is very, very wholesome, meritorious. That's why we start by reciting. So this namo tassa, a lot of people don't really know the meaning. They just recite because it has been advised. And even the kindergarten school, Sunday school kids, they also know how to recite. So the meaning is very deep. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. So sammasambuddha. So is sammasambuddha. Then after that, you take refuge straight away. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Then you repeat. Why do you repeat? For the second time, you take refuge because you are serious. Then for the third time, you take refuge. So refuge here, the meaning is very deep. When you take refuge means you really create affinity with the Triple Gem, and you really have faith in the Triple Gem. You take refuge means like you surrender yourself and go under their protection. You will learn this teaching, cultivate this teaching, and liberate your mind, because this is the only refuge safe. You don't go to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha for refuge. There is no refuge safe here. You can't find the teaching. So this teaching is a source of wisdom. And without wisdom, there is no virtue. So wisdom and virtue is a source of good life, goodness, wholesomeness. And that's how we change our life, transform our life for the better. So without the Dhamma, it's very difficult. Then after that, the first thing the Buddha asks you to do is, after taking refuge, to renew your precepts. And this is based on his advice. The first advice, to avoid all evil. How do you avoid evil? What constitutes evil? That's why the teaching is very clear. But few people understand what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute evil. And how do we avoid evil? Means avoid giving rise to the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And how do we do that? The Buddha reflected, contemplated, and came up with the five precepts. Because when you violate these five precepts, it constitutes major evil. We can investigate and check out the precepts. Take, for example, the first precept. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. What does it mean? I undertake the training rules to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Why must I take this precept? You should inquire. Why did the Buddha say I have to undertake the training rule to abstain from causing harm or killing of fellow living beings? So when we reflect and contemplate, who are the people who will kill and harm others? And then we have the answer. Only deluded people, selfish people, violent people, emotional people, they can kill and harm because of motive, because of violent nature, emotion, and also selfishness. So all this point towards an evil person. So if you break this precept, violate this precept, you have the three evil roots of greed or selfishness, anger, emotion, or violent character and delusion. That's why it constitutes major evil. If you don't keep this precept, the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. This is the karmic law, the moral causation. So if you cause harm, you cause misery, or you kill fellow sentient beings or living beings, you reap what you sow. In future, you will be harmed, you will be killed. You will be made miserable. You become the victim. Is that what you want? Your life, you decide. If that is not what you want, you better wake up and keep this precept so that you never violate this precept. And you can ask the Kayamita for those who have already went into the cultivation. After a while, they realize when you keep your precept clean, your life changes, you become beautiful. I always share this, keeping precept is like wearing masks. Now pandemic, COVID-19, you understand. When you wear mask means what? You not only protect yourself from receiving this COVID-19 virus contact, but at the same time, you prevent others from being affected by you or contagious. So the mask actually help to protect both yourself and others. So if everybody wear masks and follow the SOP, the chances of it spreading is very much reduced. So keeping precept has some of this similarity. When I keep precepts means I don't harm others. But at the same time, when I don't harm others means I'm not committing evil. I take care of my karma. So when I take care of my karma take care of my life. I will not become victim to reap all this negativity of action, speech, and thought that my nature might have inflicted on other people if I had not kept these precepts. So if you check the other precepts, they are the same. The second precept is the same. So this second precept is I undertake the training rule. Yeah? To abstain from stealing or taking things that don't belong to me. So if you do that, you will be virtuous. You will not lose things. You will not become the victim. You will not confront people who deceive, cheat, and scam you because you have not done this to other people. But if you have been doing all this nonsense through selfishness, through greed, through evil intent, through delusion, then this precept, when you violate, it creates major evil. Karma-wise, you will become victim later on. People will harm you, cheat you, deceive you, scam you, and do all those things back to you. Even you go and see all those doctors, you will visit all those that is not ethical, who also have selfish intent behind. Then you will also meet up with all those bogus people who cheat and scam. Especially those who visit medium, superstition, both of those things. You don't have the good karma, I tell you. You will end up reaping what you sow in the past. So the third precept, as we all know, is abstain from sexual misconduct. That one is very important to preserve the sanctity of our marriage relationship, to actually avoid harming people, contacting with unnecessary type of disease. So there is a reason why this precept is important. Only selfish people with a lot of craving and desire or lust will break the precept. Delude the people who didn't really care about their family unit, their family members. They only think of their selfish intent, their lust, their desire. And the fourth precept, as we all know, abstain from telling lies or avoid arising the four type of wrong speech. What are the four type of wrong speech? Speak harshly, harsh and violent speeches. Yeah. And of course, lying. When you lie means you have evil intent or there are certain advantages or benefits that you dare not let people know. That's why you lie. You dare not speak the truth. Then the third wrong speech is you get yourself involved with negativity or backbiting, saying negative thing behind people's back, or they say patuapi, put for instigating people. All these are wrong speech. And of course, the last one is, although people take it lightly, it's also pretty serious if you understand the effect. To speak frivolously, frivolous speech, you think it's frivolous, not important, you simply say, but sometimes it hurts and it can cause a lot of misunderstanding or repercussion to what you say. You may not have the ill intent, but because of your carelessness, frivolously you speak them, then the word reach the ears of people who are not supposed to hear, then you get yourself into big trouble. So precepts are very important. That's why all these other teachings. So the fifth precept is also very important. We undertake the training rule to abstain from partaking in intoxicants, drugs, alcohol, etc., that cause our mind state, our consciousness to be low, to be affected. So when you do this, the danger is you lost your ability to be aware. And when you lost your ability to be aware, you become heedless. You sometimes simply do things without knowing, because those under the influence of drugs and alcohol, their consciousness can become unconscious, lapse into moments of unconscious. Then they simply do things. Then there is this possibility that you may violate all the other first four precepts. That's why it's very serious. So the teachings that follow is very beautiful. Eh? You chant the salutation to the Buddha. Then for us, we chant the salutation not only to the Buddha, to all the great beings. Then after that, we take refuge. Then we renew our precepts. Then after that, actually, there is normally the puja offering where we develop rejoicing, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we also do it mindfully. Then we pay respect to Triple Gem. It's also a meritorious action. Then later on, we conclude by paying respect to Triple Gem again. And this is very wholesome. Then after that, we start our session, our sharing. This is listening to the Dhamma, the gift of truth, the meritorious action. Then you rejoice, also meritorious action. Then you straighten your view, it's also meritorious action. Then those who help organize all this, they provide service to notify people to attend and all those things. Then there is also what they call the closing puja, where we share merit, transfer merits, we make aspiration, we invoke power of merits for certain wholesomeness and goodness. So this is how the 10 meritorious action all can be cultivated. A lot of wholesomeness and goodness can be developed just through all this Dhamma session that the Buddha has recommended. You go to the temple, it's the same. So that constitutes the second advice of the Buddha. First is to avoid all evil through keeping the precept and understanding what constitutes evil. Then after that, cultivate wholesomeness. And when you follow the advice of the Buddha to attend Dhamma session, come into contact with true Kayamitas, then you will have opportunity to learn from them, to constantly listen to the true Dhamma, the true teaching. Then all the 10 meritorious action, you get to develop them, cultivate them. So even you have condition to make offering, donation, puja offering, and various type of donation towards the sasana for the benefit of the society or the grouping that develop this dhamma activity, spiritual activity. Then all this sharing become very beautiful. So you do dana, you keep your precept, is also meritorious action. Making offering is also meritorious. Then we sometimes also meditate. Now our session, we meditate. And there is also meritorious action. So when all the 10 meritorious action, you get to perform and develop, which means all this sharing is very, very beautiful and very important. It can help the cultivator to really progress, to develop the spiritual faculty, the faith, to understand the teaching, the significance of all this puja offering, like the offering of flour, clear water, fruits, incense, and many other things. When you understand this significance, it recalls to mind all the beautiful teachings. Then when we share the Dhamma, that is where the Dhamma, which are beautiful teachings that give rise to understanding, that can allow us to develop wisdom, to liberate our mind, to free our mind from suffering. Then we understand life, the secret of life, then we know how to live life. So Dhamma is so beautiful. Then with wisdom, automatically we become virtuous. We are incapable of evil or negativity. So that's how we transform. Then we learn from the teaching how to develop the meditation, how to arise the pure mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, how to realize the true mind. We develop the spiritual faculty, satta, virya, leading to sati. Sati is mindfulness, awareness before the knowing. Stabilize it to become samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, we see things as they are clearly, developing the wisdom, the understanding. So all these are very beautiful. So this is the part that I want you to understand. To learn the teaching actually is not easy, but because we have the sasana now, it can be relatively easy. And when you know all the significance which I have explained just now, then you appreciate the teaching. That's why you see the beauty in the Buddha Dhamma, how he structured the teaching, and how that teaching that has been structured in that way can actually let sentient being develop the understanding of his teaching and cultivate it with ease. Without you knowing it, it's already the cultivation. But you must have the understanding so that your faith is strong, so that your sadha drives you. When you see the importance of this teaching, the beauty of this teaching, you go all out. That's how you develop virya. So sadha leading to virya, and virya drive you to cultivate. That's how sati come about, the daily mindfulness, the training of the mind to be aware and mindful, leading to heedfulness. All this follow that Noble Eightfold Path. All of the path factors are so beautiful. That's how the teaching can be developed and become beautiful. And cultivation is not difficult when you understand all this.